This interview is part of an ongoing oral history project at the university. We're trying to capture the voices of leading Mexican Americans as well as other citizens around the community. I'm going to record this interview. We will transcribe it and keep it in our archives. Today, we are interviewing Mrs. Maria Diaz. She is a long-term educator in the Corpus Christi area. And then after that, I will interview her husband, Tony Diaz, who is a member of the school board. Okay, let's start with you, Mrs. Diaz. Where were you born?
I was born in Kingsville, Texas.
Okay. Who were your parents?
My parents were Alfredo Barrera and Nympha Villarreal Barrera.
Okay, and what did they do for a living? Did they work on a ranch, or did they?
They worked on a ranch, on farms, on labor types of things outside labor, and that's what they did. They never went to school.
Never.
So they were not educated.
What ranches did they work on?
Around Kingsville, Concepcion, La Copita, those places around in Duval County.
And so they didn't have formal education as such.
No, sir.
And what ended up as you grew up? Tell me a little bit about your life growing up. So you moved from place to place?
We did, because I was born in Kingsville. My sisters, I have two sisters, one since has passed, but they were born in Duval County, and La Copita and Concepcion, so they did move from place to place until they came finally to Ben Bolt, and that's where we grew up, and that's where we went to school, because my dad had brothers and family that lived there. And so he wanted to be close to his family. And then my mom's family, some of them lived there as well.
Okay. And so I assume then you finished high school and your siblings.
Yes, and my sisters did too in Ben Bolt.
Okay. And then you all went to college?
Not right away. Our high school was so small that we had a counselor, I think, but we never saw her. She didn't advise about anything. Kingsville was 21 miles from Ben Bolt, and we probably wouldn't have been able to afford to go, but it would have been nice to know that it was there and that we could go if we had the means to go. But nobody told us anything. So I finished high school in 1953, and I went looking for jobs in Alice. But then all the people from Benavides, from San Diego, from all around, went looking for jobs in Alice as well.
Why Alice?
Because it was a hub city.
Okay.
It wasn't big, but it was the largest city around us.
Okay. Yeah.
So we went there. And so I stayed at home for 2 years picking cotton and going to pick crops with one of my dad's brothers. He would take me and we'd spend the day over there picking whatever. And finally, I was fortunate enough that we had a coach in Ben Bolt that was from Corpus Christi. And he was a graduate of Miller High School. He was offered a job at Miller High School as assistant coach or whatever. He and his wife had twin sons, but one of them passed, and they buried him in Ben Bolt. And my parents would kind of take care of his little grave and things. So when they moved to Corpus, she decided to go to work as well with the school district as a secretary. So they needed a babysitter for the one surviving twin. He was about three. So they went to Benbow and told my parents if they allowed me to come with them, that I could stay with them and go to Del Mar at night, and they would pay my tuition and my books. But I didn't get paid anything else.
Okay.
But I had all these things. Plus, I got the opportunity to come and to go to college.
Right.
So I did. My dad and my mom said yes, because they knew them well. And so I came with them. I registered at Del Mar for one semester. Took 9 hours at night. They usually only allowed you to take six. But because of my grades, they allowed me to take an extra course, 3-hour course. So I took 9 hours, and I passed them. Then I registered for the next semester. But unfortunately, I got sick from appendicitis, and I had to go back home to take it out so the doctor could operate. So I did. So that canceled my semester of school. They got their money back because we hadn't started classes. And so I went home, spent about a month recouping and things. And then I called a cousin of mine to ask her if I could come and stay with her and try to find a job in Corpus Christi. So I came with my dear cousin. She had six children, but she made a little room for me. And so I came with her, started working. No, I didn't start working. Started looking for a job. And it took a while before I could find anything. So in little intervals, I would go to Benbow just to be with the family. One weekend, I decided to go and stay beyond Sunday. So I get a call from another cousin of mine. Her name is Andy Hinojosa. She was my second cousin. She called me and she says, I have a job for you. Dr. Hector needs somebody to come and help at the drugstore, because he had a drugstore right next to his office. And she said, and I told him about you. So you need to come. So I came right away. And I started working for Dr. Hector. And what I liked about him is that he would allow you to take time to go to school if you wanted to. And then after that, you could come to work. So I started going back to Del Mar the next semester.
Okay.
But then I started working. And my husband had just graduated from college. And he and his brothers, and they did furniture refinishing. At the drugstore, we sold all kinds of things, including televisions. And people would buy them, then they couldn't pay for them, so we had to repossess them. But they were scratched and whatever. So they did the touch-ups.
And they being who?
My husband and her brothers, and okay. His brothers.
Okay, I got it.
At the shop. They picked up the TVs, took them, touched them up, all the scratches and whatever, and then brought them back, and they were fixed. So that's how I met my husband. Plus, he had an uncle he would bring to Dr. Garcia's office he was Dr. Garcia's patient. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I met my husband.
I see. Let's back up just a minute. So you went to Benbow High School. When did you graduate?
1953.
That must have been a segregated school, or was it too small of an area to be segregated?
It was too small, and there was no segregation because most of the people were Mexican-American.
Ah.
You know.
Okay.
There were very few Anglos that came from the ranches around Benbow. They would come to school there, but very few.
Okay.
With my class, we had one Anglo boy, one Mexican-American boy, and 9 girls. We were only 11.
Wow.
When we graduated from high school.
That's a common story, unfortunately, but that's very, very Very kind.
So there was no discrimination per se. I didn't experience that type of thing until I came to Corpus Christi.
Right. Well, that's an interesting thing. Your teacher, who was your teacher in Benbolt?
Oh, my teacher, believe it or not, was from Premont. Her maiden name was Ofelia Salazar. But that was when she was at Benbolt. Then she left Benbolt because she got married. And she came to Corpus and found a job here teaching as well. And believe it or not, when I did my student teaching, my cooperating teacher was my first grade teacher. And then her name was Mrs. Lerma.
I see. You know.
So anyway, we didn't tell anybody because I was afraid if I told the college supervisor.
Right. Now keep going.
She would move me to another teacher, a cooperating teacher. So we decided not to say anything. So I did my student teaching with her. And then we told them after we finished with the student teaching and I got my degree and I got my certificate and I started teaching, then we told the story. And the newspaper came out and I have a picture of the two of us with one of the students that they took and the story that she was my first grade teacher in another district. And then I had come here to do my student teaching, and Lord and behold, she was there for me.
Isn't that funny? It's funny how life works that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you, so then where did you get your teaching certificate? Where did you go to school to be a teacher?
I went, after I got married, I took 15 hours, and then I got married. And we had three boys. And so I wasn't going to school or working at that time. And then after I had the boys, my last son, I decided that I wanted to go to work to help. Well, we had three sons. And my husband was a teacher. And he said, well, I'll let you teach. I mean, if you want to work, you can be a teacher. I said, but I don't have this certification. He says, well, you can go to school. So I started going to school at night because at night he was at home and he could stay with the boys. Mm-hmm. And so I went to Del Mar and I finished there. Took me a long time, but I finished there. And then I transferred to A&I.
Okay.
Texas A&M Kingsville now. But to me, it's always going to be A&I. And so then I started teaching as well.
Okay. And that you so you graduated from A&I in Kingsville.
From A&I, and I got my certification. And I started teaching. And after 8 years of teaching, I would go at night to A&I to work on my master's. And summers, we would go right. Summers as well. And I got my master's at A&I as well.
Let's back up a little bit. When did you get your bachelor's from A&I?
I got my bachelor's in 1965.
That's your BA from Kingsville. And then when did you get your master's?
8 years later.
Okay. So that'd be like 1973.
Yes.
From Kingsville as well.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
And so I would drive over there at night two or three, probably two times a week. And nobody else with me but me. And when you got out of class, it was 9:30, and I had to drive back home.
Right.
But I was very fortunate. The Lord was with me, and nothing ever happened to me on the road. So I was very fortunate. And I got my master's like that.
What field did you teach? What did you teach, elementary, junior
high? I taught all elementary.
Okay.
Upper elementary mostly, that's what I liked.
Okay. And then that gets me to my next set of questions. So I meant to ask you at the beginning and I forgot. What year were you born?
1935.
Born 1935, and I got the location. And then you started teaching, I guess, in 1965.
Five. Yes, sir.
And then taught basically until a few years ago, I guess, when you retired.
I retired in 2000, but then I kept subbing and tutoring. And,
okay.
And so I finally retired 2012. I mean, quit altogether 2012. I was retired, though.
Got it. Okay. Let me write that down.
But okay. After I got my master's, I came here, and some years later, and I decided that I wanted to get mid-management certification. So I came here and took 30 hours.
Wow.
Of work to get my certificate, but I did. And I taught 21 years, and I was assistant for 14.
Wow.
In CCISD.
And so that would have been toward the end of your career. Well, let's shift gears, and I want to talk a little bit now about your professional career, and then we'll kind of wind up from that. But so you taught for a while. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me just an overview, very broad general, what changes did you see in that time? Were there changes in the students, changes in their parents, changes in policy, changes in the community? What did you see?
Changes in all of those areas, even in the personnel. There weren't that many Hispanic teachers, even though we did have some. I started teaching, like a lot of us, in the West Side. I did my student teaching in second grade with Mrs. Lerma, but they gave me a job to teach fifth grade, so I took it. So I started teaching fifth grade. I had 35 students. There was no 1 to 22 or anything like that.
Right.
35. So that was different because you taught. They allow you to teach. They let you do what you needed to do following your guides.
Right.
And nothing was told to you, you know, to, well, let's do it this way, do it that way. It was up to what you had learned and up to what you could get from your team, your other teachers at your grade level. And I did get a lot of help from them. I did get. So our students were Hispanic. Our buildings were old. 10 years, I taught at Austin Elementary 5 years. Then the bilingual program came into existence.
When was that five-year window that you're talking about teaching?
5 years, 65 to 70.
Okay. Because people who are listening will want to know.
Yes. And within this time, 2 years, maybe around 1977, 78, the bilingual program started to come into existence. When we went to school, it was monolingual, and if you didn't know, you sink or swim.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to learn, and the teacher could not interpret for you because it was against the law to speak Spanish in Texas schools.
Mm-hmm.
So we learned by sink or swim type of thing. So anyway, but then the bilingual program came into existence. I didn't want to be a bilingual teacher, but I spoke Spanish. So the bilingual teachers were very limited in number. So the principal told me, I was teaching fifth grade. Principal said, I want you to go next year. I'm going to put you in first grade because of the bilingual students. So that was in 68, 69. So he put me in first grade. And I did first grade through the end of 1970, 2 years. But I never liked it. But he said, because you speak Spanish, I want you there. So anyway, I kept asking him to put me back in the upper grades, but he never did. But he did tell me, at Smith, they need maybe a fourth or a third grade teacher. So he helped me to find a place that I would enjoy teaching at. So I transferred to Smith, and I was there 10 years. I taught there 10 years, mainly fourth grade.
Okay.
Sometimes we used to have split, they called a split class. you got 12 students, the top 12 from fourth grade and the top 12 from third grade. And you taught them all in one room.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things you taught were basic. So you could do a lesson for both grade levels. And right. There were some differences where you had to separate them, but in most cases, it was teaching nouns, teaching verbs. It's all the same.
Right.
You know, at different levels of difficulty, but the same. So they each got their different homework. And so I was there 10 years. And the reason that I had to leave at the end of the 10th year was because then the busing came along. And the pairing of schools, a south side school with a west side school.
Tell me about that.
And at that, those years, they were building T.G. Allen brand new because it was Army barracks, just like Austin Elementary School. That's the type of schools they had over there in the west side for the kids. And they would leak the roofs and whatever. But anyway, they built a new T.G. Allen. So what they did, they paired the new school, because people from the south side were going over there,
mm-hmm.
with Smith. Third and fourth grade went to Smith. Went to Allen. And fifth and sixth from over there came to Smith.
Okay.
Third and fourth grade teachers went to Allen.
Okay.
And their fifth and sixth grade teachers came to Smith. That's how I left Smith.
Okay.
Because of the busing and the pairing. I was a fourth grade teacher. I had to go, and they did that, I think, basically to kind of let the kids know that some of their teachers were over there. Even though we had mixed T.G. Allen and Smith mm-hmm. kids, but the Smith kids saw that some of their teachers were there. They saw familiar faces among the teachers.
How did the kids get along? Because you've got different ethnic backgrounds.
Yes, yes.
And the teachers, by the way. The kids and the teacher, how did they all get along?
The teachers, if there were any problems, I never knew. It was pretty congenial. The group just accepted the fact that this is the way it was going to be. The kids... Later on, I heard that there had been some frictions. I never saw it. I never heard it while I was going through that type of program.
Hmm.
But most of the time, they were good. They cooperated. The kids were very good. When I had the 35, no problems. Because all I had to do was say, I'm going to let Mama know. So anyway, that's how I ended up at Allen. In 1986, I was teaching fourth grade at Allen, and at the first week of school, I had applied for assistant principal. The first week of school, they called me for an interview, and I went. And then maybe the second week or third week, they hired me as an assistant, and so I had to leave the class. I never got a chance to tell them goodbye, because on a Friday, I went to downtown. They gave me the job, I signed the papers, and they told me Monday morning you go and report to Evans as the assistant at Evans. So I had the weekend, but I didn't see the kids. I didn't tell them bye or anything. Years later, I went back and picked up my stuff that I had left. But anyway, and then I became an assistant principal. And I was at Evans 4 years.
Okay.
I was at Travis 1 year as assistant. And then I was at Sanders 9 years. And that's where I retired from, Sanders Elementary.
Interesting. How different was your experience as an administrator versus being a teacher?
I was totally lost. Not because I didn't know what I was doing, but because I missed the kids. I would go out to P.E., to look for the kids that I was not teaching anymore. And I felt like, here I am sitting down. I'm not doing anything. anything. Even though I was, but it was different. And I mean, after 21 years of being with the kids every day in the classroom, and all of a sudden that's taken away from you. For me, it was difficult. I was glad I'd gotten a promotion, and I enjoyed it after a while, but it took a good while to get adjusted.
Sure, sure. Now, it's especially when you're that dedicated to the students, it's hard to give that up. Do you feel like, as an administrator, that gave you the opportunity to make changes at the school or at the system level? Or were you just kind of another administrator?
We had more opportunities then, even though we didn't venture out and you know, tried to do things. But we did have more opportunities than now, because I think now a lot of the things come down from the state as to what you do and how you do it. Right. And way back then, if we had anything coming down from the state, it was not much. The things you had to teach, but how and when, and nothing like that.
Right. Right. It's very, that is very, very different today.
Yes.
I'll go ahead and wrap this up at this point. What would you say have been your one or two or five major accomplishments over the years? What do you feel most proud of?
Well, I'm going to be like my parents. Their dream was for us to finish high school, and we did. And to them, that was a big step.
Yes.
So that one. The next one was, of course, getting married and my children, having my children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The third one would be seeing that my children got better opportunities, because we saw to it that they did, mm-hmm. than we ever had. We wanted, like all parents, the best for them. Then they did. They were very good. They responded. They did what they had to do. And by the help of the Lord, they all have at least one college degree. And we have four. We have the three boys and my daughter that goes, she's still going to school here.
Right.
She's trying to get a second doctorate. She has a doctor's degree in counseling.
Okay.
Now her major was English for her BS. She taught English at Tom Brown. Now she's going to school, getting her master's in English, to then work on her doctorates in English.
Okay. Well, good for
her. So all our children were successful. Our middle son got a very big opportunity because he got a scholarship to the Coast Guard Academy. So he went 4 years to the Coast Guard. And then after that, he served 30 years in the Coast Guard. He had five commands of Coast Guard cutters. He had, as far as we know, it still stands, the biggest cocaine bust in Coast Guard history.
Wow.
His ship out of California. So all of those things make a parent proud.
Of course.
You know, so that was as well. I put all of that even above my getting my degree and my kid, because to me, my number one pride and joy are my husband and my children. And I put myself last.
But sounds like you've done a great job.
Thank you, sir.
Great children.
Oh, very and successful. I have an Aggie.
Oh, okay. And a bear.
A Baylor bear, yes, sir.
Okay.
And that's my granddaughter and her husband. They're both bears.
Oh, it's funny how many Mexican Americans from here ended up at Baylor.
Yes.
I found that out interviewing Nick Jimenez.
And she got 2 degrees from there. And then she went to Tennessee and got her doctorates over there.
Good for her. It's amazing these days. It's a very
and
different
world. And pushed
her
husband to get his doctorates as well.
Good for them. Well, that was, you know, it's funny. I'll just wrap this up by saying it fits in that you worked for Dr. Hector. His whole vision was education.
Oh, yes.
And that's what you have pushed on for yourself and your children.
And his saying was, education is
our freedom, and freedom should be everybody's business.
And it should be everybody's business. That was his quote.
It very famous. It's on his statue.
Yes, up there. Yes. So because he wanted to see his people, like he called us.
Yes,
Hispanics. He wanted to see his people succeed.
Absolutely.
But let me tell you one last thing. When I retired, I told them they had a little. They give you a little gift or whatever downtown. So they have a little gathering to celebrate your retirement. And I got a chance, you get a chance to say a few words. And this is what I told them. I said, to me, everything that I have done, as far as getting an education and what I did, and you know, with my jobs and whatever, to me, it was like a dream. I told them, it's like a dream. And I am so afraid that one of these days, I'm going to wake up from this dream and all of these things were not going to be true. I said, that's how I feel. To me, it's a dream. And I want to keep on dreaming because I don't want to wake up and find out that it isn't true.
I understand that completely.
You know. So, I have had a good life, sir.
It sounds like it.
And I have the Lord to thank for that.
Well, it sounds like you've done a wonderful job. Thank you so much for your time and sharing your stories with us. Again, we'll save this and we'll make a copy for you and we'll keep a copy for us.
Thank you
so much for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Now I'm going to try to turn this off without breaking it.